You on the Move, also by Tallgrass Motors and First Baptist Church. We'll talk election politics coming up in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
AM 1400, K1 Community Connection this morning, and having the opportunity this morning to talk things over with State Senate District 29 candidate Julie Daniels. And Mrs. Morning. Daniels, good morning.
Morning, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's a pleasant day in the neighborhood, not going to be quite as hot as last week. For those people such as yourself that may be knocking on somebody's door, that's probably a good thing.
Not as hot as it was in Rogers County yesterday afternoon when it topped 102 at one point.
Oh, wow. It was roughly a year ago, as I recall, that you announced your candidacy.
Well, I believe that's correct. And as I was telling you before we went on the air, last week for the first time, I had other people knocking on doors for me, to this point, every time you got a knock on your door or a note left with a brochure, that was me. Very important to me to meet as many voters as possible, and knocked on well over 2,000 doors now. But last week, sort of a trip down memory lane, I started knocking doors in Dewey in September of last year, took a neighborhood in Dewey, just put my finger on the map and said, Julie, start someplace. You've got 2 1/3 counties to do, start someplace. And then the very next week I chose a neighborhood in Bartlesville, and last weekend I went back to the door of the first lady I had a long conversation with, and she's a small business owner and very conservative, you know, good American patriot, and we just had a lovely catch up, you know, over the months of the campaign. Essentially, Charlie, it boils down to this: a conservative versus a liberal. On the Republican ticket, a conservative versus a liberal. I believe in individual freedom, individual opportunity, and I am not a statist. I am not a systems top-down, government makes the best decision for everybody sort of gal. Mm-hmm. And therefore, individual is a word I use for a reason. Individual as in individual liberty and opportunity, and to expand and prosper and make the best of your life as you can, and family. One step beyond individual would be that family unit. Mm-hmm. That's where I start, and from that comes the vision of free enterprise and an emphasis on small business and really good government services, education, public safety, transport, but understanding that first and foremost you have to go back to the individual, because it is the individual and the family and the business through the taxes that it passes on to its customers that we pay for government. And we must always put the taxpayers first. They deserve good value for their money, and we must always understand that it is their money. Put there for a public purpose, yes, but it is their money. And that is what it will inform every decision I make as a senator with everybody's vote. Hope to be able to get to do that job.
You mentioned several government services. Would you classify those as the core services of a state government?
Those would be among the core. You know, we have 72 agencies. Each one has a mission. Are all of those missions those which we should be trying to accomplish today with taxpayer dollars? I cannot say. But certainly the ones that get mentioned the most. The other would be healthcare, the Department of Health and Human Services. So they're all core to some constituency. Mm-hmm. And certainly education, because it does take half of the state budget and employs so many people and impacts so many lives. It is first and foremost. So yes, those would be core, but that is not to say that the mission of the Tourism and Recreation Department, which is to steward our natural resources in our parks and to make those available and pleasantly available to the citizens of Oklahoma and others, that is their mission. We own a lot of state parks, not as many as we did 7 or 8 years ago, but you know, if that is a core mission and we have stewardship of those responsibilities for the benefit of the taxpayer, that could be considered a core service to someone. And that is why in an ongoing recession. And my opinion that taxpayers are maxed out, like the lady I called a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I have one question for you. And as a candidate, you never know what's coming next. She said, are you for a 1% permanent increase in state sales tax? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, good, that's all I need to know. She said, I'm on a fixed income. I'm 82 years old. I will tell you right now, she said, I will have to adjust my buying. I will adjust my behavior to match this new assault on what little income I have. And she mentioned, of course, that the city had just voted successfully to raise sales tax 0.4%. Having been involved with city government, it's crucial that we not further make it difficult for cities to finance their services, since it's all dependent on sales tax. So things like that. And then the small business person, just this weekend, we all know the business, the Lovely Chocolate Shop down on Frank Phillips Boulevard. And he called and left a message that he has an issue. He cannot sell chocolate that has any liqueur in it. And he gives up a lot of business because of that. And it has to do with our liquor laws. I had not thought of that before. Mm-hmm. But here's another point, Charlie. That is important to that small businessman.
Sure.
Therefore, it is important to me. Like the home builder who said, if they increase the sales tax on any more services, I'm out. My margins are so thin. By the time I pay all the contractors and meet all the regulations, all of which have a cost to me, which he passes on to the person who buys the house. But at some point, the return is not great enough to even be involved in the business anymore.
Well, I think many of us think of sales taxes as being a tax on a product, not necessarily on a service.
Correct. And so there was another example. And then again, Obamacare, Obamacare, Obamacare. It's going to cripple state government if you do not stand firm and literally pray, and I do pray, that there will be sense at the federal level to repeal and replace this, because it's further damaging the ability of anyone to operate as any sort of free enterprise system. The National Labor Relations Board new edicts on overtime. It's going to cripple businesses. Talked to a gal, a young lady just this last weekend, works at the University of Oklahoma, how the whole university system is going to have to redo the way it works with its employees. And what word comes to my mind? Compliance. More and more people are working in compliance. And those are important jobs. But the more people you have working in compliance, that means the fewer people who are able to actually go out and do the productive work of offering the goods and services. Government just continues to grow. And at the federal level, it's pushing in with the bathroom, locker room, shower edict, with the NLRB, with the waters of the U.S. rule, trying to take more control over the private property of citizens, and then the assault on the Second Amendment. How could I have anticipated a year ago that the Second Amendment would be so much in the limelight right now, with the complete breakdown of respect for our congressional procedures and system, that people would do a sit-in on the floor of the House, not trying to overcome an assault on civil rights, but to try and overcome our own Constitution? And just leads me into saying, I'm honored to be endorsed by the National Rifle Association. I first became involved with them about 7 years ago, when the president finally went one step too far for me as a freedom-loving citizen. And so I'm truly honored to be endorsed by them. And you know, the endorsement I need the most are the voters, the over many hundreds I've talked to, mm-hmm. but also the 200 more individual donors who've given to me, the 20 or 30 people working in my campaign, the small businesses I've talked to, I've given you a couple of examples, and then John B. Kane, representing business owner, private enterprise, terribly concerned about private property rights, Dr. Piper, endorsing me because of my conservatism, my belief in limited government, the private sector again, and constitutional conservatism, and Dr. Coburn, who has stepped in and endorsed only 5 or 6 races, mm-hmm. federal or state, calling me a true conservative, an advocate for freedom, and I like this, independent in her thinking. If it's important to a constituent, it's going to be important to me. And what you do with that then is you try and serve everyone, but you understand that with any vote that you take, of the thousands that may be taken in a 4-year term, you are not always going to be able to vote the way every individual constituent would like. So what you have there to make it possible to go on to the next vote and the next conversation and the next issue is your integrity. In any human endeavor, business, your church, your family, being out working with nonprofits, being a member of city government, your integrity is what you have, and once it's gone, it's gone.
Sounds like paraphrasing a quote from Edmund Burke.
Well, Edmund Burke, yes, a true champion of liberty. And so for me, that's in public service the only thing you have. So it's very important to me to know that if you say to someone, I weighed and I studied and I know it all the way around, I didn't just pick a position out of the thin air or stick to something for any particular reason. I weighed all the goods and the bads, and I made this decision, and you're not happy with it this time, but now let's go on and work on this next thing. If you have integrity, you'll be able to do that.
Let's take a pause
sure.
here.
And sorry, Charlie.
We'll exercise the free market system with some advertising. We'll continue in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
There's always something good happening at the Bartlesville First Baptist Church. Coming up July 11th through the 16th is Falls Creek Youth Camp. Register now. And July 11th through the 14th, plus August 1st through the 5th, is the Cross Timbers Children's Mission Adventure Camp. Registration going on now. For more information about the First Baptist Church events calendar, call 918-336-6172.
And Election Day is tomorrow. Of course, you have the opportunity to cast an early ballot, but actually, let's go ahead and talk about the hours for voting tomorrow, 7 to 7 at your polling place. And again, we're talking with candidate for Senate District 29, Julie Daniels. And Julie, we were talking, among other things, about freedom, about conservative issues.
Yes, and then let's bring that down more to the state level. Let's talk about taxes.
Okay.
We're in a recession. I understand from some remarks I heard made about a week ago that we've lost 15,000 jobs in Oklahoma. That's what I heard, and that 13,000 of those were the energy industry. And we know in Bartlesville, USA, that long before any recession hit government, we were seeing it on the ConocoPhillips and Phillips campus mm-hmm. here in Bartlesville. And we're feeling it ABB and Siemens and through the small business people who service the energy industry. So I do not believe this is a time to raise taxes on people. If anything, you need people to keep more of what they earn to try and stimulate the economy while you work on the regulations again. And particularly on the state income tax, certainly it's down at a certain percent now, and any increased revenue might trigger a lowering. But we can't compete with these other states if we raise our taxes. The whole idea was to start to lower the rates, broaden the base so that you would be more competitive with those states particularly that have no income tax. And no community knows the effect of state income tax more than Bartlesville. The huge number of people and human capital that we have lost to Texas and Florida who would have stayed here, who would have continued to invest their talents in our community. I know retirees who've gone to other states and started businesses. They could be employing people here in Oklahoma. They could be contributing to our charitable organizations, providing leadership, but they left because of our tax structure. Mm-hmm. So every time you pull, there's a push the other way, so you have to look for balance. Corporate interests. I'm for an all-of-the-above approach in energy, and I'm for an all-above-the-approach in education, and I'm so pleased that our energy industry and all of our businesses in Bartlesville do so much for our nonprofit organizations and our schools. It's because of the good things that happened in the energy industry that one corporation was able to invest so much in Bartlesville High School. Right now, they're in a recession. They aren't a cash cow. They're involved in a global business, and the commodity price is hurting all the energy states, including us. And so We have to right now adjust our spending at the state level to accommodate the fact that there is not a money tree at 23rd and Lincoln. And so it's really important to be serious about talking about what is sustainable. When we go to give teachers a pay raise, which needs to be done, we have to be prepared to make very difficult decisions to make that happen. And I'm prepared to do that. But to make it sustainable, just as in putting together a city budget and you want to give police and fire and non-uniform employees a raise, you can say, I'm going to give everybody a raise this year, but you have to be able to pay for it the next year. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have to cut somebody's job. And that's where I think we're headed in government, to adjust in order to pay teachers more. There are going to have to be adjustments elsewhere in the budget, or there needs to be serious reform of the tax credits. Those are huge decisions. We now have a tax credit review commission. Mm-hmm. They should be generating data that will help the next session of the legislature discuss and make tough decisions.
And I know Earl Sears mentioned that there were a lot of discussions, but not the political will to get as much done as he would have liked.
That's right. He mentioned the other day lobbyists. He was at a Rotary meeting, and somebody said, well, why do you listen to the lobbyists? And he said, well, you forget the wind credit lobbyists speak for the school districts in western Oklahoma, who are, because of the ad valorem revenues, seeing their school districts improve. There was an editorial within the last 6 months in the Oklahoman, a western Oklahoma school district administrator or teacher saying, do not touch our wind tax credits. They are helping things in our school district. But statewide, other districts are suffering because we've been so generous. So in the future, when you look at tax credits, you've got to look, are you over-promising? If you build it and they will come, anticipate and maybe put a limit on that. We need more federal funds transparency. Anywhere in state government that we're doing a program that uses matching federal funds, if it's required to match to keep that program, that's one thing. But if at some time when things were better, and there was more revenue, you said, there's a nice program, and if we'll just match it, we can get that money. Maybe not so today. Let us go and look at where is it absolutely critical that we're engaged with the federal government. Because if it's not, let's spend those tax dollars in a more effective manner.
Julia, looking at the clock, and I know there's a lot more to do here, but I'll let you make your final plea to voters.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to volunteer today or tomorrow, give me a call at 331-7267. Tomorrow evening, we will gather at Sterling's at 7 to listen to the returns come in from Bartlesville Radio. Just want to say again to the voters, what an honor it's been to come and talk with you at your door, particularly talk to veterans, small business people, educators. Many of you have offered ideas on how to move forward with improving education and pay and better resources and spending them more effectively, and I'm really excited to get to work with you on that. And lastly, just reiterate, I'm a lifelong conservative Republican. And that's what this primary race is all about and what the future composition of our legislature is going to be about. Better to have more people who have not come from government their entire career seek a balance in the legislature to represent both those interests but also the interests of the market sector, the individual, the family. I appreciate everybody's support. I appreciate all the people I've had the opportunity to meet with. And I hope that on June the 29th, I get to go knock on a few more doors. So today, I just humbly ask for your vote.
Thank you very much. Candidate for State Senate District 29, Julie Daniels, with us this morning on a Community Connection on 1400 K1.
I'm going to go to lunch.
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering?